men left, men of God, like the circuit-riding preachers of old, proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old, strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
Well, we're back, and we have a message for you. We're going to have communion towards the end of the message today. So we'll go ahead and pass out the communion now, but we won't be partaking of communion. In fact, why don't we just hold off passing out the communion until towards the end of the message? I'm going to do it differently this morning. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would guide and direct us as we now look into your word to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. This is going to be more of a lesson, and it's going to be a continuation of what we began about 2 weeks ago. And I want you to know that there is much, much more for you to know about communion. Now, I know there's a lot of you out there think you know it all, and some of you think you know so much that, oh, those people, they get together and they take this little communion thing and they think that's going to have some kind of effect. I want you to know that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Now, I've been doing that ever since I was baptized for the remission of sins back 30-some years ago, just like that man. My life changed and never been the same since. There's never been a Sunday that I, well, there might have been one or two along the way that I never took communion. I took communion every Sunday after that. Still here. And you'll still be here and well and healthy, and much more so if you start to grow in the understanding. Now, if you were with us in the last lesson about 2 weeks ago, what I subtitled, there is so, so much more to the soul food of communion. You know that it is tied, according to Scripture, Paul made it very clear, it is tied to health. It is tied to ill health. Why? Because there's much more to this thing of communion than the saints understand. I believe, saints, that we're living in a time that is spoken of in Daniel chapter 12, and I think it's verse 4. We'll bring it up on the screen. I'll rapidly comment on that verse as we go into part 2 on this communion lesson. It says in Daniel 4, but as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. Now, there have been some that say, well, that's what's happening today. We're traveling back and forth, jet age, and knowledge is increasing. And there is truth to that. Technical knowledge has exploded. We do travel like our forefathers couldn't even believe that you could have traveled. But I think that that scripture is talking about something different when it says going to and fro. I think it's talking about going not only to the New Testament, also to the Old Testament. It's going to and fro in the Word, and I think the knowledge is an increase in the Word. God would have His people to grow. It's funny how we are people. We get our little babies, and then we work, tend to them, feed them, and we want them to do what? To grow. And then we say, oh, look what you've done. You grew up on mama. What do you expect, Mom? You've been feeding him. You've been wanting him to grow. And then you complain. Well, isn't that the way we are? You know, babies are cute. And this is a newborn babe that you just saw, a man being born again today of the water and the Spirit. He's cute now, but if he remains a baby 50 years from now, he's not so cute. He's some kind of freak. Amen? And it's about time he knows that you got to take food now. And Peter talks about the Word of God being the milk of the Word, and there's a meat of the Word, and you start feeding on that Word, dear brother, and you'll start to grow. And we need to grow in our understanding. And we need to grow in our understanding about communion. Now, some of you are going to be like this. Now, I'm not putting you down. I'm not trying to be unkind to you. I just want you to kind of understand what I'm trying to say here. I know there's plenty of you out there that you don't take communion with us. Don't say you need to take communion. All those people take, you know, they think they're going to. I know how some of these people think. But as you begin to learn the importance of communion and what it does for you spiritually and physically and mentally, some of you are going to say, you know, I'm going to start taking communion. And for you, I say to you, repent. Now, what I mean by that is this. You've got a heart problem. You don't have a head problem. You have a heart problem. You see, you don't have a head problem because when you start getting it in your head that, hey, there's a benefit for me to eat of the loaf, to drink of the cup. I'm going to use my head. There's a benefit of it. I'm going to do it. But the problem is you must serve the Lord with your heart and your mind. Does that make sense? And your heart problem is this. If you don't do something for God until you understand how it works and how it's going to benefit you, you have a heart problem. You have enough understanding right now to know that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Now, we've made available our booklet called Communion, Its Potential Blessings and Curses, and it's free. It's not for sale. I'm just offering it here because you out there that need to study it need to understand communion. And we'll send it to you if you just write for it. That's the address right there on the screen. Communion and its potential blessings and curses and need. P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. We want you to be blessed with the understanding of communion. Want you to know that there's a potential curse in taking communion if it's not taken properly. And we want it so bad that we'll just send it to you if you just order it. But I want you to know that there is more to this thing of communion. And if you're just now starting to say, well, now I'm starting to understand it, I'll take it. You need to understand that you just need to repent and say, Lord, I should have taken it before I understood it. See, obedience is this. If the child has to be told why mom or dad says this and explain so it understands, is that obedience? No. Every now and then, mom and dad has to say, because I said so. You ever do that, Mom? Yeah, because I said so. You got to get that in your head, children of Israel. Amen. And then when you do what the Lord said we are to do, then it starts to make sense down the road why mom or dad said to do what they said to do. You know what I'm saying? I talked to a wise man, a farmer, and he says, you know, if I have a dog, don't mind me, there's just no good having the dog because I can't protect it. If I say don't go running out in the road, if he won't mind, there's no protection. And you know, there's a lot to that in the way it comes to the shepherd, amen? And he can't bless us unless we learn to just do without us understanding what the blessings are. But so I say to you, get your heart right. We do this because Jesus said to do it. And now we do it with heart and mind because I want to tell you something. There's a whole lot more to this thing of communion. That's in the way of introduction. I need to give you a way of review. Let's rapidly make review from the last message, and then we'll try to get into some new material. First of all, there's more than just forgiveness of sins at the cross. We've already covered that. It's what we call the full spectrum of salvation. Praise God that Jesus took our sins there at the cross. But praise God, there's even more that he took when he went to the cross for us. We go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. This is review. And we read there in verse 4 of Isaiah 53 these words. And it has to do with Christ on the cross. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now leave it there. Our griefs he himself bore, and that word griefs means sickness. And our sorrows he carried, that word sorrow means pain. And we covered that Jesus took not only our sins, but our sicknesses and our pain there upon him at the cross. We pointed out that there are three things. There are three things that we need to understand in regards to the crucifixion, but to understand those three things, we must understand that we are a three-part type creature. We go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. This is review. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, and we read, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body," there's the three things, spirit, soul, and body, "be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus did a complete work on the cross. And he heals you spiritually, our Lord does. He heals you physically, our Lord does. In other words, your body. And he heals your soul. Now, when we deal with soul, we're dealing with mind, will, and emotion. I understand that today the biggest amount of prescriptions, and there's a big a lot of prescriptions out there. Our people are drugged up. But one of the biggest amounts has to do with their mental being, their emotional problems, the term slips me now, but it's the pharmakia that addresses their mind and their state of mind. Well, we have a benefit at the cross that is far more than just healing from a spiritual standpoint, sin. And I don't mean to put that down in any way. I mean, that isn't enough. That would be in itself enough, would it not? But the good news is it gets gooder. But he takes care of our physical, and he takes care of our mental and emotional. And we'll see all that as we keep on going. We want you to remember what we pointed out last time, and that is that what he did at the cross destroyed the work of the devil, what the devil did in the garden. We read in 1 John 3, 8 these words. 1 John 3, 8, how Jesus destroyed the work of the devil. Now, some of you out there don't believe there is a devil, and let me say to you without being too unkind, if you've done much studying in the Word and you can't understand there's a devil or a Satan, you need some additional teaching. It's called special ed. That's what you need, because it's pretty clear. There's a devil. Let's read. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. What came out of that garden in the way of sin and all the ramifications of it was the work of the devil. What Jesus did at the cross destroyed that work. Now, when we come and take communion, we are coming to the cross. We are remembering, and we're doing this in remembrance of what he did for us. Just as your answer to your sin problem is found at Calvary, so is the answer to the sick in mind problem, or mental illness, or the sick in body problem, physical element. It's all found there at the cross. These are the benefits. I don't know about you, but I want to claim all my benefits from the policy. Amen. And there's a whole lot more in the way of benefits than what the church world has been telling the people out there. It's the full spectrum of salvation. And we pointed out in the last message that Calvary is an exchange. You take your sins to the foot of the cross and exchange it for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So you go to the cross and you change your sins for his righteousness. It's what the Bible calls being imputed with his righteousness. Likewise, your mental anguish, you take it to the cross and you exchange it for peace. You can have peace of mind. Likewise, your physical sickness, if you want to exchange it for health, it can be done at the cross. At Calvary, Jesus Christ destroyed the work of the devil. Now, here's a point that we made in the last lesson, and it's worth remaking again because repetition is a key of learning, but we need to learn this. Get this. It is by faith that you take advantage of this exchange. You cannot get. How do you get something from God? There's only one way to get something from God. And you say, Lord, I want it. I want this. I want that. You know what the Lord, I think, is saying? Well, then take it, dummy sheep. I've given it to you. All the works of the devil have been destroyed at the cross. And all you have to do is take. But anything you take from God has to be taken by faith. Now, salvation is taken by faith. You have to understand the difference between belief and faith, because we have a world out there that has been deceived. They quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? Now see, what I did is I just lied to you. And I did so on purpose. Well, why would you do that? I knew it. You are a false prophet, Pastor Peters. The only way you can tell a false prophet is to check his words with the Word of God. That's the only way. If he says something that the Word of God doesn't say, now which one are you going to believe? sheep. And we all say, bah. Well, what did I just say? I said it both ways. That's doublethink there. I said, for God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish but have eternal life. And there's a whole big difference between would and should. The Bible says you should not perish. You should believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if you don't, man, I tell you, you're in a serious, dangerous position. He is returning. I only read to you Daniel 12:4. I suggest after the service you read Daniel 12:1, 2, and 3. We are at that time, and you'd better believe. But you better understand this. It takes more than belief. We are saved by our belief, and we are saved by our faith, and there's a difference between faith and belief. Are you with me? Now, what you had here, what you saw here, was a man that believed. But then I asked him this morning, I said, how did you find us? And he told us on the internet, and he says, I knew I was supposed to be baptized, but he said, then you pointed out that baptism, according to Peter, was for the remission of sins. Isn't that what you told me? And suddenly you realized your sins, even though you were a believer in Christ, were not remitted, didn't you? And he realized they wouldn't be remitted until he faithed it. The illustration I often use to give you an idea, a difference between this would and should. Suppose you're a reporter with a bomb crew. And the bomb crew is defusing a bomb, and you're right there, a reporter, trying to get ahead in your reporting career, and you got the camera down there, and you got the mic down, and you say, now he's defusing the bomb right now. Sir, that bomb won't go off on us, will it? And he looks up and says, well, it shouldn't. How secure would you feel? See, there's a big difference between wouldn't and shouldn't. You shouldn't perish, but you will. If you don't faith as well as believe. And what this man did when he obeyed Acts 2:38 was he faith. He already believed. He was already converted. Many of you are already converted. You know Jesus has been working in your life and his grace has been such that he's guided you. And even right now, I want you to know that the Spirit is working on some of you and you're saying, you know, I think maybe I ought to be baptized too. Yeah, you better. Peter the apostle was given the keys to the kingdom. Oh yeah, he wasn't as smart as you. He's just a simple old fisherman, but he was able to figure out Acts 2:38. And so this man figured it out and drove 4.5 hours to come to be born again of the water and the Spirit. Now, I got off on that, but I want you to know that what he did is that he took the salvation that was his by faith. He acted on the word that he believes. Does that make sense? And that's what I'm trying to get at. Across, and I'll get back now to communion. There are benefits of communion that we get when we take those benefits by faith. Just taking communion is an act of faith. It shows we do believe what the Lord tells us to do, and now we faith it. There's a difference between believing and faithing. I need to move on. When we take communion, we take it by faith because he said, this do. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. We're still in way of review. And we'll read starting with verse 23. This is a passage that's read frequently before communion. We'll read it rapidly now. 1 Corinthians 11:23. It says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. Notice that there was weakness and sickness if communion wasn't partaken of properly. Now, I want you to know that there is health and strength when it is taken properly. Make sense? And we really need to understand that. We need to understand that there is healing or the opposite of healing in communion. That there is strength or the opposite of strength in communion. There is life or the opposite of life in communion. There are two elements in communion. The blood, the flesh, the fruit of the vine, the unleavened bread, they represent each. I pointed out in the last message that I remember back about 30 years ago as a young Christian, I was asked to bring a communion talk at a Church of Christ over in Montrose, Colorado. And I have to look back now and see that I didn't know what I was talking about. But you see, I understand why I talked the way I did, because at that time, the only thing I knew about the cross was that Jesus died and took my sins. I did not know the full spectrum of salvation, that he also took my diseases. And so when I read this passage that I just read to you, I said, and I remember very clearly saying it, I said that this was the people in Corinth being weak and sick spiritually. Well, that's the way I interpreted it, because I didn't understand the full spectrum of salvation, but I want you to know, no! They were weak and sick physically because they weren't taking communion properly. Are you with me? You see, it's a very important thing for us to take this thing seriously. And you can take the health benefits through faith from communion, but you've got to know how to do it. Just like this man today took the salvation benefit that's his from the cross, but he knew how to do it. Someone told him how to do it. And that was Peter the Apostle, who said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." So he did it. It was an act of faith. And guess what? His sins were washed away today. He became a new man, a new creature in Christ. He was added to the body of Christ. This is all teaching in the Word of God that is not taught in the church world today, for the most part. Does that make sense? By the way, I want you to know, you don't have to travel 4.5 hours to come here to get baptized. You can probably find a Church of Christ or a Christian church in your area, and you'll find most of those ministers will be glad to do what I did with this service in baptizing this man. Now, they wouldn't claim this church or this preacher in any way, but they certainly understand baptism for the remission of sins, and I don't think they would turn away anybody that came to them for that. Just wanted to put that out. Let's go on. Spiritual healing comes through the blood. Physical healing of mind and body comes through the flesh, where he bore the stripes. The scripture says, "By his stripes we are healed." When we partake of the bread, it is put in us, in our minds, that Jesus Christ took the stripes upon him. He did so to bear our sicknesses. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. As we go there, I ask you out there a question. Why did Jesus take your sins upon him? So that you don't have to bear your sins. Make sense? All right, he took something else upon him, according to this scripture, it says, we read. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Now, let's think. Let's reason together, as the scripture says. If he took our sins so we don't have to bear our sins, why did he take our diseases so we don't have to bear our diseases? But that's a part of the salvation that's not taught. I wasn't taught. It took me years to learn that. That Jesus took not only our sins at the cross, but he took our sicknesses. Praise God. Isn't this great news? So how do you take the health benefit? You take it by faith. And I want you to know that if you start taking communion properly, there is a health benefit in it, and that's one of the purposes for it. To get the health and strength of life benefit, there has to be an emphasis on the body. The unleavened bread represents his body. The fruit of the vine in the cup represents his blood. I say again, to get the health and strength of life benefit, we have to emphasize the body. We have, and I believe correctly so, shown in our little book, Communion and Its Potential Blessings and Curses, the need of coming to the communion table with clean hands, confessing your sins, having a renewed mind, being rededicated, so to speak. But I want to emphasize now the body. The blood takes care of the spiritual, but the body. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11 and read verses 27, 28, and 29 again. 1 Corinthians 11, 27, 28, and 29. It says, we read, therefore, whoever eats the bread of or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself. If he does not eat in judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. Often the emphasis is on the cup, the blood. And it needs to be, but there also needs to be this emphasis on the body for what I'm talking about, the health and the strength of your body. Now, this is still review, and I apologize if you're saying, get to the new stuff. Does this seem review? Did I cover all this in the last one? All right. It's not so much review then. Eat and drink. Those two words are verbs. The he is a pronoun and is the subject of the sentence. When it talks about eating and drinking unworthily is an adverb. And it describes not the pronoun, not the he, but the verb. Meaning this, Paul was saying that the he was partaking in an unworthy manner by not discerning the body. Did that make sense? You partake in an unworthy manner by not judging or discerning the body. To get the health and strength benefit of communion, you have to discern and you have to say, this represents the body that took the stripes so that I don't have sickness. Does that make sense? The healing of our body and mind, we must, in order to get that, judge or discern that the loaf represents the sacrificial body that took the stripes, bore the stripes for us. That, by the way, the capillaries. Let me... Let me tell you that part of the crucifixion was not all... Let me put it this way. You got to take the whole scenario, the crucifixion. When he was in the garden, he had so much mental anguish at the thought of the pain, the suffering, the separation that he was going to endure, that the Bible says that he sweated blood. And there's a medical phenomena, I think it's called hematidrosis or something like that, where the heart begins to beat so hard and so rapidly because of such great anxiety that the capillaries cannot carry the blood adequately and they begin to break. And you literally sweat blood. We have that expression, you know, sweating blood. That's how brave our Lord was. You know, sometimes we need to say, Lord, forgive me for not being brave and strong and courageous. He expects you and I to be strong and courageous, amen? There is nothing given you in life that you can't overcome. You're called to be overcomers. And... oh, I just don't want to face it. I just don't want to live. Stop it. What parent wants their child to act that way? Get some guts to you, kid. You know, you got your mom and dad's blood flowing in you, and you are one of us, and so forth and so on. You expect them to be strong and courageous. Well, our Lord gave us an example, and he went forward. Hallelujah. Aren't you grateful? And so we sometimes just have to, as they say, suck it up and go forward. But the point is this. People are worried and they have this anxiety. But he took not only our sicknesses when he took the stripes on his back, but he was taking our mental anguish when he was there in the garden getting ready to take on the whole thing of crucifixion. Does that make sense? And so there's so much to this, and you can have peace of mind and mental healing with communion. Communion is medicinal. Well, now that I know that it's medicinal, I'm going to start taking it. Well, I want you to start taking it, but first I want you to repent and say, God, I'm sorry that I didn't have a heart enough for you just to do it without having to learn it all. You see what I'm saying? We put in our book, page 13, it says, I read, as we have already shown in this writing, the Scripture teaches us that our abiding life in Christ is connected to communion. The following writing of the Ante-Nicene Fathers show that the early church understood this. Ignatius wrote in 105 A.D., quote within quote, breaking one and the same bread is the medicine of immortality and the antidote to prevent us from dying so that we should live forever in Christ Jesus, end quote. The more degenerate the state of man is, the more he falls from God, the weaker and sicker society becomes. Just the way it is. As already stated, sin came with disease. I should put it this way. Disease came with sin. The more sinful society, the more disease-ridden society is. But now get this. Much disease is demonic. Simply that. In the gospel, there were 19 individuals healed. Out of 19 listed, 11 of them were healed by casting out a spirit of infirmity. I want to go to Acts 10:38. dealing with this thing of diseases and the demonic activity. It says in Acts 10, verse 38, we read, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Notice that the healing was connected into oppression by the devil. So the more degenerate society becomes, the more demonic it becomes, the sicker it becomes. And communion has to do with becoming healthier. With the poisons being put out in our food, the ground itself being poisoned and sterilized, food being genetically altered, demons and demon activity and witchcraft curses increasing, I want to tell you this. With all of that, nutrition is not going to cut it. Some have gotten so much into nutrition, and I'm not putting that down. In fact, one of the things we want to get on our network is a health and wellness program. And Mr. Anderson will probably be doing that. But I want to make it clear that we are to a place that we've got to go into another realm. We've got to understand that there is another law that's higher than physical law. And that's where healing comes from. If we go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, we want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. In the King James, it's very important to do it in the King James because I like the way it says here, and it'll get my point across that I'm trying to make here. As we go there, it says, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings in opposition of science, falsely so called." Notice that it says, opposition of science, falsely so called. There will be times in your life, if you're going to take the benefit of healing that is yours, the doctor will say, "I'm sorry, but that's incurable." Incurable is not a word in God's vocabulary. And we better get that. And if you're so locked in to this lie that they've locked this society in, better living through science, if this is what you call better living, you can have it. You've got to understand that science works on physical law, but all physical law came into existence through the spoken word, and that there is a higher law. You see what I'm saying? And that's what because if you're going to be locked in with science, well, these people taking this little loaf of bread and drinking the cup and they think it's going to benefit them, there's no scientific way it can do it. That's the reasoning. You see what I'm saying? That's the vain babbling that Paul's talking about. But yet he told us there is strength and health or weakness or sickness involved in communion. What are we talking about? A higher law. We want to go, time's running out. I better just do this rapidly and then. In the garden, when they sinned and they were cast out of the garden, the Lord put angels up and said, "You can't get back in here because they could come back in here and eat of the tree of life." Remember? And live forever. That tree of life, who do you think it represents? Jesus Christ. And when we eat communion, we are eating of that tree of life. Body, soul, and spirit, three parts of your life are benefited when you eat this spiritual food. Does that make sense? Because I'm looking at the clock, and before the service is over, we want to take communion together. But I want to say something that it came to my mind this week, because this will happen in your life. I don't want you to take the side of Satan. How many have ever had to fight thoughts of regret? Has it just been me? Regret. And so the thought occurred to me, and I wrote some of these things down. You know that before the sin in the garden, there was no regret? Regret is part of the curse that came out of the garden. But Jesus died on the cross to take our curse. Amen? He did away with everything that the devil did. He destroyed the work of the devil. And regret is one of the works of the devil, because it wasn't around until there was sin in the garden. Does that make sense? Now, if you find yourself walking around just living with regret, first thing you do is take your shield of faith and hold it up and use it and quench the fiery dart of the devil, because that is of the devil. And if you are walking in regret, you are on the devil's side. The Bible says the devil is a false accuser. And Jesus, the Bible says, is our advocate. And what goes on is Satan falsely accuses that that man's a sinner, he's not worthy of this and that, and he deserves death. And the counselor, Jesus, the advocate, walks up and says to the judge, "But I died for him. And now he has my righteousness. And so you can't condemn him. Ha ha, Satan." Does that make sense? Well, the same. Now, if I am condemning myself, which is what regret is, I've thrown in with the devil. You see what I'm saying? The Lord took everything that was done at the garden in the way of a curse, and he took the curse upon him, and I have no regrets. My God is so great that he can even... Sure, I've made choices. I like that song. You know, choices. But you know something? He took those wrong choices and made them good for me. He'll even work out your wrong choices for good. Does that make sense? And there is no sense walking around with regret. I just feel that I need to tell some of you, stop it! You don't have sin in your life. You don't have to have regret in your life either. Amen? Oh, there's so much more to this thing of communion. We're going to start passing it out now, and I want you out there to get your communion ready. We're going to partake together. Have your loaf and your cup ready. I want you to know that Jesus bore our sins and our diseases. Hallelujah. Jesus did a complete work at Calvary. Hallelujah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's spiritual atonement. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The chastisement of our peace is mental atonement. Mentally. With his stripes we are healed. That's physical atonement. What he did, he destroyed all the works of the devil. Calvary is an exchange. You exchange your sins for his righteousness, your mental anguish for his peace, your physical sickness for his health. The exchange is done by faith, and taking communion pertains to the cross and is done by faith. There are two elements of communion. Much emphasis has been given to the element of the cup, which represents the blood. That's where the spiritual atonement is at. But we must discern the body, whereby when we take the bread, which is his body, we judge it to be the healing for our body. This is when it becomes medicinal to us. Make sense? This is a lesson. Intellectually, we need to understand these things. After from our heart, we've already said, Lord, I'll do it even if I don't understand it. At the cross, you need to see Jesus with all the sin and evil you ever were or ever will be. He became that sin and he became that evil. You see that, or you'll never see yourself as the righteousness of God. Make sense? I read that. I wrote it in my notes. I got this from, I heard a doctor talk about this on the radio. So I don't want you to think Pastor Peter's, not that you really would think that. He's really smart. No. It was just that God has people coming to the knowledge of the truth all over. And we are growing now. At the cross, you need to see Jesus with all the sin and evil you ever were or ever will be. He became that sin and evil. See that, or you'll never see yourself as the righteousness of God. When partaking, it is partaking of the tree of life, which reverses the curse. Something we do, and when we do, we live forever. Hopefully you see now that this thing of communion is, there's much more to it than maybe you thought. Do any of you? I want you to turn from your sin in your wicked ways. Commit your way to the Lord. I've already prayed over this cup and this loaf. I've even prayed as Hezekiah prayed over that communion or the Passover lamb years and years ago. That he would overlook those that have not properly prepared, and that they would, those that are seeking the Lord and haven't followed the purification rules, which is simply repentance, that he would still grant them the healing that comes from this. I want all the benefits that are yours and mine to be ours when we partake of communion today. Now, sometimes that healing comes just like that at communion. Next Sunday, I think I'm going to tell you a story, a true story that a man told me out in Memphis just a few weeks ago. Sometimes the healing is progressive, just it comes over a period of time. Our body's constantly healing, but I want you to know there's healing as we partake of communion. There's strength and there's health and there's spiritual renewal. Our Father in heaven, I've already prayed over this loaf that we're about to partake. And I know you've heard the prayer. Now we judge that this represents the body that took our physical infirmities and also our mental anguish. We judge it that way as we partake of it. Bless us now as we do this in remembrance. In Jesus' name, you may partake. Our Heavenly Father, we for the precious blood that washes away our sins, and we drink this fruit of the vine, remembering that it was precious in your sight and that it does indeed wash away our sins if we but repent and turn back to you. Now, in Jesus' name, you may partake. Praise the Lord. Time has run out on us. I've got more to tell you along these lines. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you, and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Message by circuit riding preacher Peter Peters from the LaPorte Church Christ, located at the base of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, has been aired on the Scripture for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network and is available on CD or DVD and is archived at the scriptures4america.org. Remember, circuit rider, preacher, and teacher Peter Peters broadcasts live nightly from his Wyoming radio ranch, nestled in the Laramie, Wyoming River Valley. It's a working horse and cattle ranch, where circuit riding preacher Dr. Peters reaches all sheep of the House of Israel worldwide on satellite, internet, and shortwave radio. Dial settings 5755 and 9480. Check out the 24-hour, 7 days a week web broadcasting website, SFAWBN. Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network is made possible by the prayers and tithes of the faithful. If you want to write to circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, the address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535. Or you can visit us on the web at www.scripturesforamerica.org. The preacher will be riding back this way next week and hopes you will too.